Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode. Hey everyone, I was hoping to get this message put together sooner, but things like this unfortunately take time to set up. I just want to say that the acts of war against Ukraine break my heart, and I know as a prior service member myself that my thoughts and prayers go out to everyone who's fighting the fight that they really shouldn't have to. That being said, we have been working behind the scenes with all of our podcasts and podcast partners to put a fund together in order to pay for any refugee housing and other needs that go alongside that, like food, water, and any clothing needs. Internally, many podcasts in the Hospitality FM network have voluntarily given up sponsorship money in order to donate to the cause and are working on a unified message in order to spread throughout all of our podcasts. So this is me calling out to all of our property manager friends, industry experts, and anyone knowing of those providing lodging for Ukrainian refugees seeking safety. You can contact me directly at Will, with one L, W-I-L, at slicktalkmedia.com. We have an internal document that is being updated in real time, so if anyone could share this message within your network, we'd greatly appreciate it. I'm also placing in the show notes a link to our GoFundMe and landing page for Rentals to Rescue. That's rentalstorescue.com, where we're putting funds together in order to, again, provide finances for any of these lodging and relocation needs. So thank you so much for tuning into this quick message. I hope you guys are all well and safe, as I know we have tons of listeners in Ukraine and other countries in Europe. So thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you guys enjoy this episode. All right. Good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning. We are all so changed. Look at my hair, your beard. Michael still looks young, looks still like 22, so it didn't change much.
Yeah, being a dad hasn't aged you at all, Mr. Golden.
Well, you should have seen me 2 years ago, and then big change.
Big change. Awesome. Well, yeah, it's been a little while since we've gotten together, just because of the craziness of scheduling. Travel is picking up, and for me personally, I think the revenge travel term is a legit thing. Eight flights last week, a couple of thousand miles of travel, and so here we are, back together, reunited as a Good Morning Hospitality family. I love it.
Yes, sir. Likewise, I've been in five cities the past 5 weeks, so from Boston to California to Texas to South Carolina. All over the place. Amen.
And then we got Mr. Ross, who hasn't left his apartment.
I was stuck here. No, I just stayed here, slept 1 meter away from me. No, but it's still, I had my second shot last week. So I think I'm ready to go. Yeah, I'll go back to my hometown, to the Netherlands, I think, in 1.5 weeks. So first travel since a while. So looking forward to that one. So
yeah. Well, I'm excited. It's going to be a good one, because I think as things are picking up in America, and then hopefully slowly with you guys, that you will get more in-person stuff. But one thing we've kind of talked about is the hybrid events and how this is going to be a big thing. But then with the like revenge travel, we've seen people at conferences and shows and all this other stuff. So it'll be interesting to see, does a hybrid model play as strong as we thought? But before we jump into that conversation, I would love to just do a good old BidRuption report, because I've missed the BidRuption report so much. So we're going to jump right in.
Let's do it. I miss this so much. That's why I'm making it special with two startups of the week this time. If you're looking at the top five investments, actually, in the last month, two of them are bus companies. So Boozer, as you just saw on the screen, which is a Brazilian company. They actually are the Uber of the bus company, as I just saw as an explanation. So you can rebrand your bus into a Boozer, become kind of pink, and then actually you can rent it out. They're just more folks in technology. They raised $138, so quite successfully, especially when they're still focusing on the Brazilian market. The other one who raised a quite large investment was Flixbus. Flixbus, a German company, raised €650 million. And in total, they already did $1.2 billion. So if you look at the investments of the last month, again, two of them, they're bus companies. The other two actually was the same investment. Well, split into train. So you can see different ways of transportation seems to be become more popular as they raise quite significant funds. So again, well done, Boozer and Flixbus, and especially Boozer, my compliments, as you're focusing on on one country so far. So it's nice to see. I also read quite a lot of articles that this is still the time for startups to be more grow more than ever. So I think you see, still, you don't see many new investments in travel. You see some, but not on the old level. Nice to see there's in different spaces now. I think a few months ago, you saw many in the vacation rental industry. Now you see some in transportation. So let's see what is coming. Then the events part. Last week, I was speaking in the Uzer Kroter event. That's also the award we won last year. It was actually postponed. Now it was the US edition. And then later this year, I think it's December, is the real one again in Istanbul, where I'm going to present as well. I finally pick up my award for Best Travel Founder. And then the 1st of July, we have a new iMeet Hotel Spain edition. A few weeks ago, we had our own iMeet Hotel event. So it was great. It was a large audience and it was focusing on the US market as well. So it was a great event as well. And yeah, still hybrid events. So for us with our own iMeet Hotel, now we're just looking, are we going to keep it online? Or are we going to do it live again? But it's a longer discussion in this episode. One thing is interesting to mention already. I also had a call with one of the largest tour operators in the industry. And we talked about that as well, about business hybrid. And he said, okay, I think business travel comes back exactly how it was. So let's see. Let's discuss with the others. And can't wait also the what's with the noise.
Yeah, Grandma is getting her donut on. Yeah, long time no see. Excited to be back. And what I chose for What's With the Noise this week is a topic near and dear to Michael Ross's heart. But as it comes closer, and if Delta ever does this, then it'll be the best subscription I ever owned. So there's a company out of India that is now doing subscription flights. And right now it's three cities that are live and they've got seven more that are in the pipeline, but it comes out to be about $700 a month. And I think for any of us that travel twice a month, especially if the cities that are selected are the frequently visited ones, that's a no brainer. And Wall Street loves recurring revenue. So I would suspect to find a number of companies, maybe US or Europe focused, that are keeping a close eye on this Indian company and if it's replicable to them and their markets. But it's a great way to come out of a pandemic is with thousands of subscriptions.
When you sent that article,
I love subscriptions. So maybe we should launch BitFlights now. But of course, it's an interesting area. We also spoke with some airlines actually, because the more airlines want to go to the space, not directly unlimited flights. They more want to check. We have subscription, and for this membership fee, you always have upgrades when possible. You have check-in luggage for free, seat luggage. You don't have to pay extra, etc. So more airlines will come. We're speaking to a few as well in this field for partnerships and. Well, you see, again, recurring income, of course, is interesting, right? You can see for valuations and think also airlines when they're, you can see the impact now of the last 1.5 year. So yeah, it is interesting to see.
I know you can't say, but just give a head nod if it's Delta.
I was gonna say when you sent that link article in our group chat, I was like, oh man, Ross is gonna love this one.
We should have a base session afterwards. So that if you really want to know the teaser, who airline is, just watch on the paid episode, and we could do to get some teasers on the free session, and we have a paid subscription membership, and then we're just sharing with more.
Hey, I have the ability to do that. I've been playing around with it behind the scenes, so it's something that is very possible. And if you're somebody watching out there and looking to sponsor, we're always open. But I was thinking just the other day, because as we were talking about this conversation of in-person / hybrid events, I remember when you and I first met, Ross, that you guys were actually doing iMeet Hotel in person. That was an in-person event every destination you guys were doing. But then due to the pandemic, you guys shifted. So now I want to kind of like start off, like, I guess, the conversation with that. And then we can go into Michael, where you were in San Diego for the other conference. I think it was either conference or convention. But are you guys planning on shifting that back to in-person stuff, or is that more of, it's based on the, you know, destination you guys want to host it in?
Well, it's more, first, we're really focusing on destinations. And I think on the 1st of July, we have the Spanish edition, but it's still going to be online. I think with the whole iMeet Hotel approach, we also go more to niches. So more, for example, about Echo or loyalty, etc. So then it's not particularly needed to be in a specific location. I think the location additions, they will come back to specific locations because it was successful. Yeah. I think it's also a network effect. I think that's really important of business travel and conferences, is there's a network part, right? And this is something you just don't know. If you're watching a webinar, you're joining an online conference, there's no network.
Yeah.
You're just not going to just chat with somebody half the evening somewhere else. No, you're just leaving afterwards. So I think that's really important that the iMeet Hotel conference actually was, of course, also connected to networking, especially the part after took always longer than the event by itself. And I think that's the same with the rest of the events later, the Focus Right and the Skift and all the other big, which still didn't sponsor us, by the way. But still, if you're looking at the big travel conferences, I go there. The content is nice, but I go there for networking and partnerships.
Yeah.
And I think that's the main reason as well to go to this event. So I think it will come back for sure. You'll see that the smaller ones, the webinars, the content related ones, they might still be hybrid or online. But you see the ones that are really important for networking, they will just be, they will be back. But in a different way, right? You see, I think the skiff on this, I think this year is on the airport. Airport hotel, if I'm correct. So it's already a different location. I think, I'm not sure, but I think it's a smaller location and it's also going to be hybrid. So you will see some changes there. I think still, I love to travel again and to meet people in person. And I think that's also how we grow the business so far, by networking.
Yeah, I want to give one shameless shout out too, because I saw that we got a like and a thumbs up from our good friend Damian Sheridan, who is the founder and creator of the Book Direct Show and the Book Direct Network. So that's a conference I know
that in London.
Yes, I was going to say.
It is 100% in person. It will not be held online this year. So shout out to
you. That's awesome. Yeah, love it. Love it. That's a good sign. It's a good sign of recovery, especially I know the first Book Direct conference was actually in person. And then we had that whole COVID-19 thing happen. I met Damian at the Short Stay show and the Shorties Award last year before everything kind of locked down. And so I know the all online and the all in person, there's a big difference. And we've chatted about that. So I think Damian would have been a great person to actually have as a guest speaker. He says right now, actually, I'd rather be having a beer with you guys now than walking from my desk.
Well, that's exactly our topic today, Damian. So I think, to get back to like the in-person events versus not, the conference I went to in San Diego was super, super interesting. They only had the like big talks. So only in the morning and at the end of the day, the entire rest of the day was just for networking. They know how starved people are for networking. Mm-hmm. And it, granted, it was in California, but no masks, all in person. It was pretty pretty strange compared to the past 18 months. But the organizers understood why people are going to their events, and it's really to network and to meet one another. It's sometimes for the content. At Noiseware, we used to do most of our hiring in the fall and then send the new hires to conferences so they can see people, meet, learn, go to sessions, understand the industry. But I think, you know, to your point, Michael, I don't sit in too many of the talks, but the majority of my time mm-hmm. is grabbing beers with guys like Damien, who are super plugged into the industry and know what's going on and who the up-and-comers are and who the on-the-way-out folks are. And I think the value of purely online is gone. Like, we did a number of them last year, didn't see much from it at all, if anything. And we know that in person, we get a heck of a lot more out of it. So hybrid might be good for those that are health conscious or elderly or not vaccinated or whatever. But if you can't get together in person at the end of this year, second half of this year, then, you know, it, the old adage, the rich get richer. In America, we're doing it. It's happening. And to our European counterparts that can't get together and can't gather, you know, we're miles ahead of where they are. So, we're lucky that we've gotten the vaccine rolled out the way we have, and maybe the restrictions rolled back as early as they were. But I mean, in the UK, they're about to extend the restrictions, which just blows my mind. But whatever, I guess they're the elected bodies that those countries chose. They can always vote them out next time.
Well, I go back to this hybrid part. I think it's really important. See that as an extension, right? When you just say as a conference, we didn't always have it at the live conference. And if people were not able because of costs or et cetera, there are different reasons. Times, okay, I can still attend the conference because it takes me only a few hours instead of a few days. I think then it's great. But I think, as Michael said, the main reason was never for me the content, was always a networking part, always. And even though there were sessions, I was often still in the networking space or in the lounge space because other people couldn't be bothered to listen to some content. And then you're networking there. Often when the network in the events, often the drinks are included. So, of course, it also helps a bit to stay a bit longer. But, yeah, again, I think this networking part is so important. And, again, if it's really focusing on content, then listen to some podcast of some guys like us or Damien, et cetera. Great for content. But for networking, of course, just meet people again in real life.
How, Michael, how much of an advantage do you think it is for, particularly right now, the American companies that are able to get out and go do in-person meetings and go do networking and all that compared mm-hmm. to, you know, our European competition or your American competition or whatnot? Is it a massive advantage, or do you think it's slight or not existent?
No, I think it's a message. It's super important. Again, if I look at our company, if you look at the investors we have, if you're looking at the partnership we have, it's all because we met them in person, and none of them we met online and then further. And I think still in Europe, of course, you see the majority of the conference, the bigger ones there in the main cities or in the UK. I still think if you're looking at the big size, of course, you have the ITB. I think this one will change. It was really like more like a trading thing. And then it was already pretty old school, in my opinion, the ITB, even though it was nice to be there. I think if you're looking at the Skift, the focus, right, those kind of conferences, this was really like really focusing on more on also on technology, more on travel. This will work. I think that particularly the real trading ones, I think they will be differently. So I think that ITB will not come back as how it was before. I think the other conferences, they could come back. And again, I would travel. I can't wait to travel, for example, later this year again to the US for or Skift or Focusrite or both of them. what ITB, which I always love to go there. I'm not sure if it's needed again next year, March.
Yeah, I mean, Focusrite US version is going to be in person in, I think, November, as it always is.
I think
is.
In Miami again, and this is for now that they were the World Tour.
Yeah, but the European one's fully online. So
I don't go there. I don't go to the Focusrite in Amsterdam, which is kind of weird because it's next door, right? So I just somebody else from the team went there. It was completely different scale, completely differently. So it's, you know, that the Focusrite in Miami just there's some content, but it's mainly networking.
Yeah.
And the one in the Netherlands and in Amsterdam was, I didn't even go there, even though it's your hometown. So
yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, I think to your point, like there were times even during COVID that I'd take like a quick business trip, take someone out to dinner, and unsurprisingly or unsurprisingly, the next day a signed contract is sitting in my inbox.
Like, yeah.
Something that I've been waiting on for 1, 2, 3 months. And all it takes is a dinner out, right? Like it's amazing how even though the world has become so digitized and so easy to communicate and see people online all the time, it's just not the same. It's just not even close. So
how would it be if we were meeting in person? Because we never met each other. Well, maybe you both did, but I never met you both in person.
Yeah,
isn't it?
So Michael, we were supposed, well, not supposed to meet, but I was in Texas in January of 2020 before everything happened, and then so I met majority of the Noise War team, but yeah, Michael and I have never met in person, so it's crazy to think that none of us, like, I met we had Cindy on the show last time a couple weeks ago. I haven't met her in person yet, but I'm meeting her in person again this week, and I've met other people that I've been talking to online for a year in person. Finally, it's like, holy crap, this is so crazy to see the flourishing. So
I'll meet Will in the next probably 3 or 4 weeks as we start rolling out in some of the Orion House properties.
Yeah.
But I'm just going
to
pick the
right. It'll be emotional when you see each other. It's like we slow motion running to each other. Then how is it going to be? Did we have to film this? This is going to be good.
I'll be running up to him with my phone in my hand, just like tears down my face.
We have to record this.
We'll make that happen.
To record this. Well, come on! In a few years, there will be TV studio live from our own studio, Good Morning Hospitality. So then it's all differently. But for now, we'll do it this way.
Dream big, dream big. I'm loving it. I think
travel and tourism is 10% of the world's GDP, so it certainly warrants its own big live show.
Yeah. Hey, maybe we just take this topic and this episode, and then we make an announcement for our first, you know, Good Morning Hospitality in person / hybrid online event. Who knows?
And and 2 out of 3 of us
will play as well, right? So they have to buy a ticket, or it'll be paid content, right? Or on Netflix. Exactly. We have to just finalize the deal once, Will, because it takes too long with them. Or I couldn't because of the NDAs.
We gotta get a BidRuption subscription going. So you gotta create a BidRuption or a BidRoom subscription for this conference specifically. Okay, that's what you guys are tasked with. Get on.
Let's do that. Like,
chop.
If you close it with Netflix,
we're wildly off topic.
Hey,
we haven't done a show in a few weeks, and
exactly
catching up. So. Despite never seeing each other in person.
Well, we could talk about how the kids are doing all those things, but do this also. This is the paid show afterwards. So that's
good. Michael, give us an update on the hotel school. How's that coming along? I mean, hotels are ramping up and struggling. I know in America, struggling to hire people.
Well, you see in the whole space, you see that, of course, Bidroom is partnering with them. And you see what a lot of what's happening now is that still all the hotels, even though for us, we're Bidroom reaching out to them, you see, they have some struggles and some difficulties to find people. I think if you're talking, we also partner with some other, like, for example, TIP. We had them once. I mentioned them. We have a partnership with them, and they are giving out benefits to employees. You can see that the hotels and the restaurants, they're really struggling with workforce. So they're now focusing, I think, the rest of this year just to get people. And I think later this year, they say, okay, can we get some, can we just upskill them or reskill them or find better people? Now they just need people. So I think also I didn't experience much hospitality so far. That's time recently, but I think as soon as we'll travel, I don't know what is your experience now. Did you see kind of a different like hospitality or level? Because it's, I think it's complete completely changed.
I was going to share that too. Like we had some unique experiences because you guys know, Golden and I are both Marriott fans, and you know, definitely hotels, restaurants are struggling with staffing. It's mm-hmm. obvious to see that, but we stayed at a Westin. Okay. So we were staying at a Westin hotel. That's usually a brand that you expect the room's clean, the check-in's friendly. The whole experience from entry to exit is pretty smooth and seamless, to the point where you're like, you get to the desk once, you shouldn't really have to go to the desk multiple times throughout your stay, even if it's just very short. We did not have that experience. You know, we were very, the parking wasn't clear. The check-in was, but like, you know, choppy. It wasn't, you know, very friendly. Plus then the rooms themselves, like there was leftover food from in the mini fridge, the bed wasn't like it was clean, but the beds like did no hospital corners. The sheets were wrinkled.
They should know that the Will Slicker is the one of the best famous podcast hosts in the world.
They didn't have a welcome card.
No welcome card. No, but like what I did a video just because like the little attention to detail stuff that like it wasn't a mess, but it was like the little stuff, and then you know, just so you could definitely tell the hospitality is different from the way it was in 2019. I don't know. So it was kind of like that experience the whole time we were there in that city. The dinner that we went to should have been a quick, you know, order, get our food and drinks, pay.
But leave. How did you book? You have to use it. What I often do just or even though I send it by myself or our office manager make a reservation, so our CTO is coming. It helps. So do it as well. Like make another email address. Like, hey, the big, important, famous podcaster Will Slickers wants to stay in your hotel, even though you write it by yourself, Will.
Well, I didn't think about that, but you know, it's always interesting to see how.
I'm not doing this. I'm maybe.
Well, I was gonna say it's interesting to see, like, when, especially when. So we did book direct. I didn't book the reservation myself, but we did book online, and then should ask them, like, hey, is my loyalty rewards number on there? And like, oh no, it's not. I was like, okay, here it is. Gave it to them. Then when they saw the status, they're like, oh, like that kind of like their whole demeanor changed, right? So it's like, part of me struggles because we shouldn't be changing because we know someone's a gold or platinum or CFO, CEO of this. It should be like that consistently.
Always.
It was interesting.
The biggest noticeable difference in hospitality, in my opinion, is or has been at restaurants. It's longer wait times, consistently worse service, and super slow, like from start to finish. We complain as Americans, Michael. We know it's very European to have a dinner that lasts 3 hours. But as Americans,
depends on the country. It really depends on the country.
In and out in an hour, like max. Mm-hmm. Like, give me a
Dutch as well.
Give me a drink. Let's go.
But in Dutch, people would like to the topic dinner and go. If you go, like, for example, with French people, you just they're starting, or even Belgium, they're starting during lunch and they finish in the evening. And then it's the same with French. Or Dutch people are more to the point and time is time. It's okay. We have a dinner. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's from 2 to 3. Wait, it's like not even. So you know exactly when you're finished.
So, yeah. That's how ours was. We had it. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's hard now. You can't time it that way because a lot of restaurants are still closed. So that means these other restaurants that are open all have longer wait times and they're still shorthanded on staff. So
yeah,
just even to get an order in takes 20 minutes longer than it normally would. So, it's a struggle to hire people right now in the U.S. at least.
Well, I think it will take a while because other people work in the hospitality, they move to different kind of industries because they need to. And it, of course, if it takes 1 month, they won't just manage. But it took so long that they'll just move to different industries and they're not coming back, right? Just many of them. So you have to really like skill now completely new group of people, which takes a while. And as well, just normally when I look at the American change, you just know that if I just go, for example, to Sheraton in Krakow, for example, I just know the experience is great, completely different approach. And you go to a different hotel. But this is something, if this is going to change, it will just also change, of course, the whole load is okay. I just, my experience wasn't great. And if it happened the second time, like, oh, maybe I tried somewhere else, right? So it is important that you just keep this quality. It's going to be super difficult. So I'm curious. And I think the hotels now, I'm not sure if they're going to invest a lot in education and upskilling, reskilling of their people. It's now just to make, optimize, I think, revenue and profit. And I think as soon they see the issues and the problems and the complaints, then I might say, okay, maybe we should do something there. So
yeah,
I think as soon as people don't complain too much, I think they'll be okay. I think at the end, just say, I think now is they're surviving. I think the end of the year, people say, okay, now we have to do something because it goes, this goes bad. So
yeah,
now
yeah, I wonder the average review, has the average review rating dropped significantly in 2021 versus 2019?
That'd be an interesting stat.
Can you check them all? Can you just 100,000 properties check it, Will, for next episode just to see
what happened
there? Yeah, Will. Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah, I'll call my assistant while I'm on the plane. Have her do that.
Yeah. After she finishes your hotel reservations.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Well, no, that's a good point. And I'm, and one thing that I think about, just like, because I think what hotels can really, like, I was just talking about this with somebody else. But talking about what hotel, I feel like sometimes I dog on hotels, even though that's where I came from, but it's, they have a great product. They have great hospitality. They've been around for so long. Vacation rentals have really embodied tech. But then what I think vacation rentals and hotels can embody more is like kind of that startup culture. Instead of doing an orientation with everyone in a room, watching videos or listening to a boring speech or whatever, like getting ways to engage the staff in a longer, better way with things like hotel.school with, you know, micro content to give them those skills in between into micro doses that basically help them not zone out and throw everything that they just learned right out the window. There's a lot of stuff that can be done to like retain staff better, but I think we just get so used to hire, throw to the wolves. If they last, they last. If they don't, hire again. Like, it's a, well,
what
it's a
is
bad...
also interesting, what you see is that the hotels, instead of these sleeping experience, this is that you can do in a vacation rental or somewhere else. You see that the hotels really now, all of them, if you're looking all the meta search or the booking platforms, all of them, they're really focusing on now adding perks. This is coming, if you're looking at booking.com is also doing this now, upgrades, vouchers for restaurants. Of course, you know that we're doing this for a while, Trip Plus, you see many of them is okay, you have a great well, depends on the platform, at least at Bidroom, you have a good deal for your stay. But the extra perks is super important. And you see all the platform moving into this space. Like, how can we deliver more value for the member? As well, of course, to upsell more, right? If you get a 20 euro voucher for a restaurant, of course their goal is to make you this dinner in their restaurant and spend you $100 whatever in the restaurant, and same with the spa and everything. So upgrade, especially in Europe when there's like still the occupancy is still pretty bad. It's okay, just upgrade where possible for the experience.
True.
So this has become pretty popular in here.
Yeah, I can say I've been upgraded on pretty much every flight and hotel stay I've had during COVID, which is great. But that said, like, you're paying premiums right now and the experience is still not quite as good. So maybe they have to figure out how to justify it, or at some point price can't continue to outpace service. That's what you pay for in a hotel. On a short-term rental, you check in and the house is yours, right? There's no like concierge.
We have different expectations, right? It just, if you go for a hotel, it's the room, it's the breakfast, it's the experiences, the check-in, is like
the
maybe
bar.
A 5-6 or more. The bar, there's so many, the bar, etc. If you're looking at vacation rental or short-term rental, just looking at the room, you're looking at this, that's it, right? And if this one is good, you're good. But if in the hotel, you have to take care of much more parts to give a great experience.
Yeah, exactly.
True.
And you could have an amazing room, but the check-in is your room mentioned in that the check-in was bad, then mini bar, these things the vacation rental doesn't have to think about. And then you're going downstairs, for example, and have a drink, and then it's like you're asking for a cocktail, don't even know how to make the cocktail. You're just disappointed. It's okay, next time I'll go back to a vacation rental again. Because what was the added value for the hotel?
Yeah, and the last piece of travel tourism that I'll complain about in my recent experiences is Uber. It is not only significantly harder to get an Uber, but it's also a lot more expensive to the point where there's times that I've taken cabs and it's been cheaper and much faster, especially from the airport.
Yeah.
You know, if the Uber says it's going to be 10 minutes before it even arrives and it's as much or more expensive than a cab, like
he's right there.
Cab, it's not a big deal. Like I have no loyalty to Uber. There's no reward.
There is rewards. There are.
Yeah. I've never seen them. And I take Uber a lot. So maybe I'm just not looking in the right spot. But
did you link your Bonvoy account?
I have not, no.
That's where you're messing up. Yeah. There you go.
Probably nominal points. I'm not worried about that.
They also, I think they took an Uber and we need during COVID and stuff. Like, of course, I don't take public transport. So normally I could take a taxi or an Uber, but I didn't do, right? I just drive by yourself. It's okay, prefer not to drink and I'll just drive back. Right. So I think it changed as well that they are, even in, I think the people were an Uber driver, they were self-employed, they had to make some money. There was no tourist. So you're also moving to a different space. So I think there are less Uber drivers, which means there's a higher demand, which means you can increase your prices.
Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. Well, we got a little off topic, but it's good because I think all of this plays into hybrid and in-person stuff because it's travel related. In order to get to a hybrid event or an in-person event, you have to fly, take a train, take a bus, take an Uber, whatever. So it's good stuff. Anything, any final thoughts you guys would like to leave the audience with before we close out the session today?
How much do you want to pay for the paid content, the after sessions? No, I'm kidding. the place behind me in here is that this you can sponsor as well. So you background sponsoring, we have different opportunities now. So this whole space is for rent as well. Now you can see bedroom. But we also want to see Michael ones with a different background. That would be cool.
Yeah, well, maybe Will and I will get together in the coming weeks and do it. We can do a lot together.
Yeah.
So I guess my parting words will be I'm anxiously watching the UK as they might be extending travel again. I've got a trip planned to Scotland in middle end of July and they're trying to push it back and that would piss me off and make me quite upset.
Your guest will stay, right?
Yeah. Yep. So
yeah,
we'll see, man. Come on, Boris. Don't be an idiot.
Yeah, there we go.
Otherwise you get cut back off.
Otherwise, yeah. Well, are we allowed to go to Poland?
I guess so. And here goes, well, nobody's testing anymore, I think so. But it seems to go quite well. I think so, yeah.
I'm really fine with that pivot.
I can make something here. No, but it'll be fine.
Awesome, guys. Well, sweet. I'm excited. Thank you again for being flexible on the whole travel and whatnot. We will continue again next week. I'll be back this Friday, home and rested for another great Monday. And we'll have plenty of more topics to talk about. So we'll see everybody again soon. Check out the episode on Apple, Google, Spotify, you name it. And then, of course, watch the replay on our YouTube. And we'll see you guys again next week.